Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
Good afternoon to you, Mfundisi, and welcome. Thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Our question for today, Mfundisi, is how do you view the use of recreational drugs in light of faith? Now, granted, we understand we don't have recreational drugs in Scripture, but we still are looking for scriptural guidance as far as recreational drugs are concerned. So, what's the guidance from the Scriptures as far as recreational drugs?
Sure. The Bible, when we talk about recreational drugs and other substances that might be harmful to the body, right? More especially as Christians, we highly discourage people from partaking of said substances because, one, it is not in alignment with God's purpose and plan for us. Number two, we are stewards of the bodies that God has given us. And so then, therefore, we ought to take care of them. Three, it would be counterintuitive for a Christian who believes in God having sacrificed himself for the sake of us receiving eternal life to then, therefore, play part in shortening our lives by destroying our bodies, which is what recreational drugs will ultimately lead up to. So then, therefore, it is not right, nor is it good for us to do so. Take, for instance, the verse that we had quoted the other day about how the Bible would say that do not deceive yourselves, neither the adulterer, neither the homosexual, neither the drunkard will enter the kingdom of heaven. And by drunkard, it would speak about a person that will constantly drink alcohol, and ultimately that would, in essence, harm them. And so then, therefore, in light of that, it is not right for us as Christians to partake in recreational drugs.
So, when you're saying they are harmful, in what sense, Mfundisi?
Sorry, I can't hear you properly.
What sense are you suggesting they are harmful to us?
Pardon?
When you say recreational drugs are harmful to us, in what sense are you saying they are harmful?
When we take them in excess, obviously, when we take recreational drugs, people take recreational drugs specifically for enjoyment,
right?
And they're typically illegal, right?
Right.
Number one, for that very same purpose, the fact that they are illegal, right? As a follower of God, we cannot partake in that, right? In any.
Well, what about weed? Weed is legal in South Africa.
Sure, which is I'm getting to the second part. Obviously,
okay.
I'm not. Yeah. So when we look at the illegal aspect of the drugs,
right.
I know some would be considered to be legal, so therefore a person would try and find a loophole. But remember, if they then cause harm to the body.
I understand.
So
it's that harm that I'm asking about. What kind of harm are you referring to?
Any, for instance, I mean, if it shortens your life, it damages your brain. Take, for instance, a person that smokes. I know that when I was growing up,
right,
there's a guy that was very smart in school. And so he started smoking weed, which was weird,
right?
Because I mean, he was influenced and started smoking weed, and he started losing his mind. And the boy, till to date, he's still not okay, you know. And so, anything that causes harm to
right,
you and
right.
also alters your conscious, your mind,
that's
what I mean by harmful.
Let's get into that. And I like that you have made it a general statement to say anything that harms your body and then alters your mind and so forth. Brilliant, brilliant. So we know that sugar has that very same effect. It is harmful to the body. It is harmful to your mind. But we don't see anyone saying sugar, no more sugar. It's harmful. And it's legal. Caffeine. We see people drinking coffee. They drink energy drinks. And we are still harming our bodies because we know that caffeine is harmful to the body. We know that the foods that we are eating, beginning with the bread that we're eating, it's made from refined substances, harmful to the body. Those who are eating the so-called vegetables, those vegetables, the majority of which have been sprayed with harmful substances, grown by using genetically modified substances, they themselves become genetically modified. Maize meal that is used in sub-Saharan Africa has been proven to be genetically modified.
Sure.
Which is harmful to the body. Now, when you look at the majority of the things that are bought, store-bought, they have harmful substances. The things we flavor our food with, like those, that yellow seasoning.
Sure.
It has monosodium glutamate. What do you call it? Aromat? Monosodium glutamate. Yeah. And many spices have monosodium glutamate. The MSG, it kills your brain much faster than weed, actually. But still, we season our food and we eat food that is harmful to our body, more harmful than weed. Why do we not find people attacking these substances in the same way we're attacking weed? It has been proven to be much healthier than many of the actual foods and vegetables we claim are healthy. Again, I ask, why do we not treat those the same way we treat weed, for example? Granted, I'm not talking about a duck in South Africa or cocaine or heroin. I'm not referring to those. I'm referring to the natural herb that God planted in Eden and every other place. What about those? Sure. Should we not view the rest of these harmful substances that we consume openly and notoriously equally harmful as weed?
That's a very interesting angle to then take. Firstly, I just want to highlight the fact that obviously with our message as a church, more especially the health message, there's a lot of information that our church then obviously gives to our people to make sure that they know what is good for them and what is not, and what they should and what they should not be taking, more especially when it comes to food, specifically for the purposes of making sure that we are healthy and we live longer. Hence, you'd find that it would be discouraged for us to then eat meat, and more encouraged for us to then eat plant-based food.
Right.
Notice to say that even the plant-based that we eat right now is all the way there, but it is the better option of the two. And so there's that. So you'd find that even with sugar, the more information that is being reproduced, you'd find that this information is being shared with our people at church. You understand, to say that there is, it is harmful in the long run, it will cause dementia and so on and so forth, and all other foods, right? And I think the reason why you'd find a lot of discouragement when it comes to weed, it is because of the way that it is taken by a lot of people, which causes the alteration in the person's psyche, because there are other ways for a person to consume it.
Right.
You know, some would make tea, you know, and In certain instances, I know that when certain people take it, consume it, right? They don't always get that high as opposed to a person, them when a person smokes it or when they add it to muffins, you know? I think a lot of the time, the reason why it is discouraged, it is because of the fact that it does cause alteration, right? And also with certain people, I know for a fact that when they smoke weed,
Right.
it also causes them to be a bit slower, you know, which then causes harm as well, you know. And I know that I guess when it comes to smoking weed and versus you consuming it in a different way, which would not necessarily be harmful, and
Right.
it would be considered to be an act of deliberately harming yourself when you know
Right,
that you could,
right.
if you are willing to take it, right? There's a safer way of you consuming it versus you smoking it. You understand? So that would be a deliberate act against your body. Do you understand? So, and when the Bible then speaks about that, I know that it's also it's mostly in reference to sexual sin, but it does say that we should not harm our body because our body
Right.
is the temple of spirit.
Okay. Come with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 31.
Sure.
And no, I will not be talking about the virtuous woman.
Sure.
Just two verses there that I found rather interesting for the context of our conversation. That's Proverbs chapter 31, verse 6 and verse 7.
Sure.
I'm reading it from the King James Version. I really have no affinity toward any version. You can read it in any version you choose, Pastor. The one I have before me right now is the KJV. It reads as follows: Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Verse 7. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Again, Proverbs
Sure.
31, verse 6 and verse 7. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink
Sure.
and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more.
Sure.
We know that
Sure.
strong drink or wine or any intoxicating substance is used for recreational purposes. And here, the wise man in the book of Proverbs seems to be suggesting that those that are depressed, they must be allowed to drink and forget their problems. Kindly explain what the wise man is talking about here.
Sure. this is a very interesting verse because a lot of the time it's one that is used for a lot of people when they want to find a way to legally do order to drink and so on
Well,
and
if
so
the
forth.
wise man says it in the Bible, who are we to dispute the
You know
writings
what
of the
I
wise man?
Yeah, which is very interesting. But there's a contrast. Like, if you read the preceding verses, though,
Right.
right? Firstly, the especially 31, chapter 31 in the book of Proverbs. Here, there's advice given to the son, right? Verse 4, when you read verse 4, it would say that
It is not
it is
for
not.
kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings
Yeah.
to drink wine, nor for princes to strong drink. So you will
Sure.
remember that I am not a king, Mpunis. I'm not a prince. I am just an ordinary, depressed person who is going through the most. And therefore, the wise man in verse 16, since you are not a king, nor a prince, and you're just perishing and you're depressed, go ahead. Get a tot.
But remember now, we're talking about royalty, right? And so
Right,
when the
right.
Bible refers to you as a believer, it speaks of you being of a royal priesthood. You understand? So we're part of the royal family
Well,
of
I'm
God's
neither
people.
a priest nor of royalty. It's definitely not referring to me.
I get the perspective where you're coming from, right? So here, is when the advice is given, it's not necessarily in the sense of permitting the king or the king being the one giving.
Right.
Do you understand? But rather allow those who are poor to drink.
Right.
Do you understand? It is not to be a part of your lifestyle as a king, but
right.
those who then go that part, give them right the strong drinks for their perishing, give them the wines so that they may be able to forget their poverty.
Right.
But so when he's giving this advice, it's not necessarily focusing on the fact that it is good for
right.
people to drink, but it is more to discourage the king, right, the one who's of a higher status, from doing or partaking of those acts, because should they do so, they would be then demeaning. Hence the reference to the fact that let the poor, do you understand? And so if let's say, for instance, I know that a lot of the time in our faith, we get depressed. We get even in church, people who are poor.
Right. right.
So now the question is, I'm poor, I'm depressed. What then do I do
right.
about myself? Understand?
Mm.
And hear them the question. So the Bible then says we are to not be anxious about anything. Instead, in everything, submit everything to God in prayer.
Right.
right? Our dependence cannot be on recreational drugs to run away from our situations, because by virtue of our faith, we are already dependent on God to assist us in what we are
going through. I get that, Mfundisi. I was just hoping you'd tell us, should we then delete chapter 36 of the, or delete just that, just doubt those two verses by the wise man, because they are there in scripture. Are you suggesting that those particular verses, verse 6 and 7, we just delete them? Too uncomfortable to deal with.
No. I'm not saying that we should delete them, but I just want us to be very weary of the fact that it's not giving us permission to drink.
It says that. It's an instruction, actually. Give strong drink to the perishing. Let them drink and forget. It's an instruction. It's not even permission. It's an injunction, isn't it? Okay, don't worry, Mfundisi. Let's move on to Deuteronomy chapter 14. Deuteronomy chapter 14 is talking about a tithe.
Sure.
Verse 22 says, "You shall tithe all the yield of your seed that comes from the field year by year, and before the Lord your God in the place that he will choose to make his name dwell there. You shall eat the tithe of your grain, of your wine, and of your oil, and the firstborn of your herd and flock, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always." Verse 24, "And if the way is too long for you, so that you are not able to carry the tithe, when the Lord your God blesses you because the place is too far from you, which the Lord your God chooses to set his name there, then you, Mfundisi, then you shall turn it into money and bind up the money in your hand and go to the place that the Lord your God chooses and spend the money, whatever you desire, oxen or sheep or wine or strong drink, whatever your appetite craves, and you shall eat there before the Lord and your God and rejoice, you and your household, and you shall not neglect the Levite who is within your towns, for he has no portion or inheritance with you." Just clarify that one. It seems as though God says, go and get drunk. Go, I'm going to show you where, a holy place where you're going to buy meat,
sure.
you're going to buy alcohol, strong drink. He specifies wine and strong drink. And there in that holy place where God will tell you, you must eat that meat and drink that wine and that strong drink. And that money that you're using is tithe money. And then you should share it with the Levite. Another very odd injunction there. Do you want to clarify that one? It seems as though the scriptures are encouraging us to drink strong drink and wine. I'm confused. Help me, please.
Sure, sure. When you actually look at it from ancient Israel, right? A lot of the time, drinking wine was not necessarily a taboo. What was often at times frowned upon was drunkenness.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You understand?
Right.
So, hence the Bible then says that we shall not enter the kingdom of God if we are drunkards.
Absolutely.
You understand?
Absolutely.
But as opposed to drinking, right, wine, you would find verses like this more than just once, you know, where you'd find, if it's not necessarily an instruction, it would be a verse then speaks about like it would narrate a particular event or story where there was wine that was drank, right? So it,
like the wedding at Cana.
Exactly. So so the situation here is not, I mean, even with food, take for instance with food, the Bible frowns upon you overeating.
Absolutely. Gluttony. Also, absolutely. Yes.
Exactly. But it also gives a instruction to eat. Do you understand?
So right, like, right.
So God is not encouraging us to harm ourselves, but it's also not saying that we should deprive ourselves of, I guess, of food, even wine itself.
Ooh.
Do you understand?
So what is the pastor saying now? Is the pastor saying we
in this particular
indulge in recreational drinking?
No, I'm not encouraging drinking.
What is the pastor saying?
What I'm saying is what the Bible is saying. I'm saying that it does not discourage it. You understand? If I were to be the one to then give advice, I would say, this is me.
Right,
saying,
right.
That rather not even go there.
Right.
Because you don't know. Like a lot of people who have drank in the past or who drink, you'd find that there are people whom they would call lightweight. So you don't know how much alcohol intake.
I suspect I'm a lightweight as well.
Pardon?
I suspect I'm a lightweight. I think even a small dot would send me over the top.
You understand?
Exactly. Yes,
so I'm saying that, and sometimes if you're a person that has never drank before and you start, right?
Yeah.
And it might literally just send you off because at some point I wasn't born a pastor. At some point I did partake as well. And my first experience, I think I drank one glass, right? And it literally, I got drunk. And I was so intrigued with this feeling.
Right.
I kept on pursuing it.
Right.
Do you understand?
Right.
And then ultimately, it led me down the path of being a drunkard.
Right,
praise
right.
Praise be to God that God was able to deliver me from that. Do you understand? So what I'm saying is that in as much as the Bible doesn't necessarily discourage it, it doesn't encourage us drinking.
Right.
Even if you read that verse, it's not an encouragement. It says, buy what you desire, right? Whether wine or strong drink. But it's not necessarily an encouragement because God is specific about what he instructs us to do.
Right.
Do you understand?
Right.
In fact, when you read about the birth of Samson, the Bible will say that the angel came and gave instructions to the parents and specifically the mother. Whilst she was pregnant, she was not allowed to drink. The instruction was that she should not drink wine.
Well, she was carrying a baby. Even doctors, atheist doctors, discourage women from drinking alcohol or consuming any such substances while carrying a baby.
Exactly.
It was worse with Samson. He was a Nazarite. Yes.
Exactly. So even after his birth,
he
was discouraged from doing that. Do you understand? So what I'm saying is that in as much as the Bible, I think you'll notice that more than half the time, it doesn't necessarily discourage us from following our desires, but it it then cautions us to say that we need to be very wary of the consequences that
right.
may come
right.
with us indulging in our desires.
Right.
Do you
okay.
understand?
Okay.
So you might be, sure.
Now, I just want to read this statement before we run out of time. This is the statement of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, which was published on the 5th of July, 1995, on chemical use, abuse, and dependency. It's important that we read this statement and know exactly what the position of the Seventh-day Adventist Church is. Remember, Naye Lupondwana does not represent the views of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. The views of the
sure.
Seventh-day Adventist Church are represented by the statements and beliefs of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And it is important that as we conclude this conversation, we make it clear what the Seventh-day Adventist Church believes. So I'm going to read it verbatim from top to bottom. It's a bit of a statement, but it's important that we know the official stance of the church. It says the Seventh-day Adventist Church, officially organized in 1863, early in this history, addressed the use of beverage, alcohol, and tobacco. The church condemned the use of both as destructive to life, family, and spirituality. She adopted in practice a definition of temperance which urged total abstinence from that which is injurious and careful and judicious use of what which is good. The position of the church with respect to the use of alcohol and tobacco has not changed. In recent decades, the church has actively promoted anti-alcohol and anti-drug education within the church and united with other agencies to educate the wider community in the prevention of alcoholism and drug dependency. The church created a stop smoking program in the early 1960s, which has had a worldwide outreach and helped tens of thousands of smokers to quit. Originally known as the 5-day plan to stop smoking, it may well be most successful of all cessation programs. The creation of hundreds of new drugs in laboratories and the rediscovery and popularization of age-old natural chemicals such as marijuana, which we just called weed, and cocaine have now gravely complicated a once comparatively simple program a problem, rather, and pose an ever-increasing challenge to both the church and society. In a society which tolerates and even promotes drug use, addiction is a growing menace. Redoubling its efforts in the field of the prevention of dependency, the church is developing new curricula for its schools and support programs to assist youth to remain abstinent. The church is also seeking to be an influential voice in calling the attention of the media, public officials, and legislators to the damage society is suffering through continued promotion and distribution of alcohol and tobacco. The church continues to believe that Paul's instruction in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 12 is applicable today, that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and we, quote unquote, should glorify God in our bodies. We belong to God and we are witness to his grace. We must endeavor to be at our best physically and mentally in order that we may enjoy his fellowship and glorify his name. This public statement was released by the General Conference President Neil C. Wilson after consultation with the 16 world vice presidents of the Seventh-day Adventist Church on July 5th, 1990, at the General Conference session in Indianapolis, Indiana. And I am leaving it right there. I'm just putting it out there so that we know exactly that any and everything that you may have read does not detract from the position we have taken as a Seventh-day Adventist Church to steer clear, even if it is legal. Even if your country says it's legal, you can drink alcohol, you can use weed. As the church, we have encouraged you to steer clear. Mbunis, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate your insights. Looking forward to our conversation tomorrow.
Thank you so much, Budnai. God bless you.
All right, that's how I'm going to end our conversation. It was important for us to read that statement because, as I said, many are times we tend to take any and every verse and we use it at our advantage And then we discover it was never at our advantage. It was to our disadvantage. And we need to know, we know these verses. We have seen these verses. They still remain unwise. Unwise to consume and indulge in such substances without, I want to repeat this, without understanding what exactly was being said.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.